Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Welcome to Warrior Mothers Who Know, everyone. We're so happy to have Brighton Peterson here with us today. He's a trainer for Sons of Helaman and Men of Moroni here at Life Changing Services. He has a lot of experience here at Life Changing Services. One of the things he does currently is he is the facilitator that runs our generals panel every month. And I know you do lots of other cool things too, Brighton, and you're going to tell us a lot more about them. Thanks for joining, everyone. We're so glad you're here. We love Brighton. I personally love Brighton. I know that's uncomfortable to hear, Brighton, but I do. I kind of love you. And he's Lisa Peterson. She, you might know her. She's our front office manager here at Life Changing Services. She and I haven't been friends for years. And so I met Brighton when he was in the Sons of Helaman program. So I've watched him grow, be such an amazing young man into an amazing man now, an amazing husband and father. And I'm sure he'll tell us a little bit more about him, but we're just so, it's so cool. I want you to notice today when you see Brighton, if you have someone you're worried about that you cry about and you worry about and you think, I bet they're never going to turn into a good man because they're being a really bad boy, right? Some of us, we think that, but we need to get over that because that is so untrue. And it's so good to have evidence that, yeah, Brighton is so passionate about what he learned that he's become part of the solution of our day in sharing and helping and training people. So it's just good. I want you to notice the hope that that is. And I'm sure his mom cried a lot too when he was in Sons of Helaman. Okay. So Brighton, we definitely want to meet you and your family and your life experience before we get into our meeting.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind starting there, and then I know Brighton has kind of a whatever's on his heart that he's passionate about to share with us, but he's also the director of Camp Oneida, and that's something fun I would love for him to share today as well.
Thank you, Karen. I'm happy to be here, grateful to be back with you again. I guess a little bit about me, a little bit about my background. It's been, August 2012 was when I graduated as a general from the Sons of Helaman program. So it's been approaching 11 years now since I graduated. So 12, 13-ish since I joined Sons of Helaman. As I'm sure many of you have experienced, the process of working in recovery is difficult. It takes a while. I guess a little bit of my background, a little bit of my story. I was first exposed when I was 8, shortly afterwards began showing addiction-like tendencies, struggled on largely on my own, not entirely on my own, but a lot of the time on my own until I was 16. My parents tried to help how they could, but they didn't have training. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to help. And it actually took me several years before I told them what was going on. Once eventually you found Sons of Helaman, got me enrolled when I was 16 years old. And it took me a year and a half to graduate from the program. So I was on the longer end of the spectrum of how long it takes guys to graduate. And then since then, since August of 2012, I've tried to consistently practice the skills and the tools that I've learned. So since then, graduated college, served a mission, come home, or graduated high school. High school comes first. I graduated from high school and then served a mission. Went to college up at BYU, Idaho. I married my wife, Jamie. She's a fantastic, wonderful woman, aspiring author. She's got 4 books written and hasn't decided to publish them yet. So That's something that we're working on. Eventually we'll get her books published.
That's awesome.
We got two boys, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and they keep our lives fun. They keep us exciting, and we attempt to be limber. So, and then as Karen mentioned, I run Sons of Helaman, Men of Moroni, and Men of Moroni YSA groups, as well as doing some personal warrior training. And Camp Oneida has been my big passion project for the last 3 years. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. See what else is important about me. Oh, just other random things about me. I'm a blacksmith. That's what I do for fun. I enjoy working with my hands. So working with metal and wood and all those kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit about me.
So good. Thanks.
Yeah. So I guess as a place to start today, I do want to talk about Camp Oneida, but before we do, I want to talk about some things that may be on your mind, some of the concerns you have. And if you're not aware of these kinds of things, I want to give you a little preparation, a little warning. So just kind of as a launching off point, and then I hope this turns into a discussion. So please feel free to post questions in the chat if you want them to be anonymous. I'm sure you can send those either to Karen or Luann or one of the other people on her team, and they can read it for you. Yeah, or if you're comfortable,
can I just interrupt there?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to send all your anonymous chats to Luann, and anything you're okay with Luann reading out loud, that, you know, you can either raise your hand and just say it, or raise your virtual hand, we'll call on you, or you can put it in the chat and Luann will read it. But we don't want Brian to be worried about the chat. And for some reason, I can't worry about the chat either, but I will try it, Luann.
Thank you, Karen. So yes, I am hoping this will be more of a discussion today. So just kind of as a launching off place, I don't expect us to stay here and we'll just kind of go wherever your questions are. But as a launching off point, summer is hard for a lot of reasons, but especially when we're talking about addiction recovery and those kinds of things, summer is tricky. Summer is hard. So I want to talk a little bit about why and share a couple of tools, a couple of principles, and then we'll just follow the discussion wherever your questions are. The primary reason that summer is hard versus the school year, things like that, is because there's such a change of schedule. There's such a change in routine. God has built us in such a way where we all have routines that we follow. I was having just kind of a goofy conversation with some of my YSA guys last night talking about routines. God built us a way where when we do things, we do them basically the same way every time. The way you brush your teeth basically the exact same way every single time. The way you get dressed, the way that you eat your cereal, the way that you put your shoes on. I came to find out I am weird in that I always put my left sock and then left shoe on and then right sock and right shoe on. I didn't realize that was weird until I was married. And my wife is just staring at me. She's like, what the heck are you doing? Apparently normal humans put both socks on and then both shoes on. And the order in that you do those left versus right doesn't particularly matter. So apparently I'm weird, but I do it the exact same way every single time. Part of this goofy conversation I was having with the YSA guys last night is I invited them to brush their teeth in the reverse order that they usually do. And they all have to pause and things like, what part of my mouth do I usually start with? And they start nodding. It's like, oh yeah, I always start with this part of my mouth. And so by doing it in reverse order, first of all, it just kind of messes with your brain in really weird and goofy ways, but also makes you become more aware of your routines, your patterns, and you can get a more thorough brush that way. And the same thing applies to a lot of different things. Now, what does that have to do with the summer? During the school year, your boys, well, everyone really has routines. And as we follow those routines of I'm up by this time, these are things I need to do before I get myself or the children out the door to school and all those kinds of things. And then during the day, your boys are following a routine of I go to this class, I talk to these people, I do this stuff. And there's minor variations from day to day, but the routine is pretty consistent. And so one of the things that we see is oftentimes boys do pretty well at winning their battles during the week. And then they kind of struggle on the weekend because there's usually less structure. And then things like Labor Day and Memorial Day come rolling around, and there's like a 3-day weekend. And one of the things that as group facilitators we expect is there are a lot more lost battles during those times where the routine is shaken up. And when the routine changes, especially around like Christmas time or between semesters and stuff like that, when routines change, oftentimes that's where we see a lot of losses occur, because their support, the something about the support when the routine changes shifts and it gets more difficult, it gets more tricky. So that's the primary reason why summer is such a more difficult time for winning battles, because that routine that comes with being in school is gone. Now, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily just floating around without any sort of sail or steering mechanism on open sea. They find routines during the summer, but it takes a while to find those routines. And oftentimes, if they have a ton of free time, it leads to a lot of variations in routine. And it's harder to settle into that kind of consistent, this is what I should expect to do at these times and these kinds of things. So that's one of the major reasons. Other things play into it, boredom, easy internet access, all those kinds of things can play into it as well. But a lot of it does come down to that change of routine. There's a couple other thoughts that I want to add, but just kind of pause and check in at this point. Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts to add, any clarifications?
Sherry. I thought maybe Sherry was going to say something. I was just going to say Brighton for me. I know I get weirder in the summer, right? Like I just get off and I'm not in a trying to get to a place of recovery with addiction, but I just want to say amen. Whenever Christmas comes or summer comes or something where everything's going to shift, it was almost like it's just, a lot more challenging as a parent.
Yeah. Thank you. This is something as group facilitators, we work to try and help our boys be aware of. And I mean, they're teenage boys. And so how much that they sink in our, or how much sinks in our hour and a half sessions kind of depends on the boy, but they're teenagers and there's a part of their brain that isn't always in line with their value system. So we expect that instead of having a cup to catch water, it's something more along the lines of a colander. And so we're puller and a gallon and they'll catch a couple of drips. And then over time, eventually that accumulates. And that's just kind of what we expect. And I'm sure as parents, you see something very similar where you're trying to give your sons a lot of affection, a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. And they got a calendar waiting for you instead of, or a colander, not a calendar. They got a colander waiting for you and a lot of the water just leaks through. But this is something that we try and prepare them for, that you need to be prepared for when there are changes in schedule, when you go on vacation, when it's time for summer break, when Labor Day, Memorial Day roll around and these kinds of things. Part of what helps is planning ahead and having contingency plans. And so what I mean like by that is if you know that you're going on a family reunion, and this is something we expect your boys to put together, you're more than welcome to, or we hope that you're willing to nudge and remind them. But, and there's some ways that are better to do it than others. I'm still working on it. Karen is really good at this. I don't remember what it's called, but the positive assumptions, those kinds of things where you can offer those gentle reminders, something along the lines of, I was going to remind you that it will be tricky to do manpower while we're at this family reunion next week. But then I remembered you'd probably already thought of that and had come up with a plan. And so at that point, it's not a discussion. And they don't have this nagging pride thing going on. Their head's like, oh yeah, she's just trying to remind me. Or there's the assumption of, how dare she assume that I had forgotten? Because men just have really dumb thoughts like that. But instead, it's this assumption like, oh yeah, I am smart. Oh yeah, I am a man. And she's assuming I've done this thing that I haven't done yet. So I'm going to go do that now. And she'll never know the difference. Even though we all know that they haven't gone about creating that plan yet. But by doing things like that, helps them create the contingency plan. So when there is that schedule shift, when they don't have as easy access to scriptures and whatever else that they do for their manpower goals, because they're away at a family reunion, they can plan ahead and figure these are the times and places where I'm going to do these kinds of things. Yeah, so that's kind of the first piece. The next piece is, it's a tool that is really easy to overuse, but it's the idea of keeping them busy. There's a fine line with this. One of the things I see in probably 75 to 90% of the guys who come to our groups, and this is everyone I see from 13 up to 45 and beyond, is the assumption is if I am just busy enough, I don't have time to lose. And there's some truth to that. And so helping your child stay busy during the summer can be helpful. But one of the things, it's important to understand that busyness and recovery are not the same thing. Abstinence or sobriety, just not losing, and recovery are not the same thing. I have worked with people who they can easily go months at a time without looking at pornography or masturbating or anything in that sexual self-mastery realm. But the reason that they are there is that 1% of the time they're out of whack and they need help with that little bit. Let me see if I can rephrase this in a way that makes a little more sense. I'm assuming you're all more or less familiar with the chemical scale. Level zero, your agency is totally your own. You're in full control of yourself. Level 10 is when you've lost and you've done something contrary to your value system. And then level five, that midpoint, is the decision point of I'm choosing that I'm going to lose. They haven't yet. And so level 6 through 9 represent that gap in time between I've decided to lose and I've actually lost. The reason this is relevant, some of these guys that I work with, they, even if they can go 3 months or more at a time without actually losing a battle, without hitting that level 10 on the chemical scale, they'll spend like 2.5 of those months at level 5, where they are committed to a loss. They just don't have an opportunity yet. And so they are just patiently waiting until that opportunity to lose. So abstinence, being busy, is not the same thing as recovery. It can be helpful when someone has a sufficient amount of things into their schedule. There's less free time. There's less boredom. It's what's the song from The Music Man of You Got Trouble, Idle Hands is the Devil's Playground, all that kind of stuff. Good musical, fun stuff. And there's a lot of truth in that song of when we have a lot of downtime, when we have a lot of free time, let me rephrase that. When we have too much free time, too much idle time, that gets us in trouble. Especially with teenagers, boredom is one of the number one mood battles that leads people to lose. As they get older, I work more with YSA or married men. It tends to be less boredom and things more akin to like anxiety and stress and those kinds of things. Yeah. So yes, summarizing this principle is it's helpful if your child is busy, whether that's with summer camps, whether that's with trek or high adventure, whether that's with summer sports, vacations, family reunions, all of those things are good. But in and of them, so they are helpful, but in and of themselves, they don't facilitate recovery. Use them without overbooking your child and causing stress, but understand that they're more preventative than they are facilitating cure and recovery. Any clarifying questions?
I just think this is so good because my son used to tell me all the time that he hated road trips. And he, even though he enjoyed the things, he would always lose battles on our road trips. And I couldn't understand why he hated them because he would have so much fun at the different places we would go. And this is helping to explain a lot of that to my mind. So thank you for sharing.
I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Another thing I was going to say is, I think moms have a yearning to get just the right tool or something that our child will experience and they'll have an Alma the Younger thing happen to them. Do I mean like something is going to just shift in them and that's going to be the catalyst that will take them to this better place? And I don't think that's never true. I think that can happen, but I think the majority is, we're having this human journey and taking advantage of the edifying system that becomes that drip that's filling that big, eventually the small symbol that brings great things to pass, keeping those things available and aligned with where we'd love our kids to go, that's one thing, but thinking it's going to be the end all be all, that's a tricky one. And that's a hard thing for new moms to hear. Because when they finally say, okay, it's bad enough, we realize we don't have the skill to help our son, maybe we need more support. Now we're going to invest, going to pay money, we're going to do this, right? And then when they see it's not happening really, really fast, right? Or that in a month's time, we've just noticed nothing better. Or our son, no, we don't think he's doing anything the program says he's supposed to do, kind of a thing. A lot of that is just this adjusting human.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think that's a good point that you pointed out, that no one thing is going to cure all the thing, that we're going to be human till we're safely dead.
Yeah. I've got a very similar phrase that I tell my young men is, there's only two times in this life where you can rest, where you can take your armor off, where you can put your sword down. The first is when you're dead, and the other is when you're in the temple, because that's the only place Satan can't go. Which I will acknowledge, that's a really depressing sentiment. It's like, what do you mean? I can't ever stop fighting? It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's sword out, shield up, ready to fight. Yeah. Yeah. Life's a war and it's not fair. And it kind of stinks. But one of the other things that you mentioned, Karen, about the Alma, the younger experience, I've been pondering a lot and doing a lot of research recently about miracles and these kinds of Alma, the younger experiences, because I'm human like everyone here. I've got things that I'm working on, and there's some things that I'm just really impatient with my progress. It's like, God, can you please just fix this for me now? And because of where we're at in Come Follow Me, and we're studying the miracles and stuff like that of our Savior, that's kind of what I've been studying, is trying to understand what is a miracle, which the best way I've found to summarize that, it's God doing something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And so that's one of the things that the Holy Ghost hit me with, is the expectation from God is, if I can do it for myself, then I should do it for myself. And obviously there's ways you can take that way too far. But as far as my relationship with God, my personal recovery and all those kinds of things, is if I am capable of doing the work without running faster than I have strength, that's my responsibility. And the vast majority of the time, God will not step in and do that for me. He can, but because he functions on a different level of divine calculus than we do, he knows that these are things I need to do for myself in order to grow and progress. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that Alma the Younger and Saul to Paul experiences don't happen. But again, God functions on a different level of calculus than we do, where he can see this person needs this, and then he will offer that to them. But most people, it's what Jehovah told Adam and Eve when they were first kicked out of the garden, is, by the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread. And so one of the conversations I've been having with my guys in all of my groups, actually, not just with the young men and Sons of Helaman, but the YSA, the married guys, is that recovery, by the sweat of thy face shalt thou work recovery all the days of thy life. Now, sometimes God steps in and there is a miracle where the desire, and not just the ability to act contrary to the value system, but the desire is just gone. It evaporates and they never have a lost battle again. Sometimes that happens. Usually that happens before they come to Sons of Human or Men of Moroni. And so most of the guys that come to my group, the expectation is, by the sweat of thy face shalt thou work recovery all the days of thy life. Now, that doesn't mean that the Alma, the younger type of miracle, won't occur later. There are people that I've worked with who, after they have diligently, by the sweat of thy face, worked recovery for years, God steps in and is like, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will take this from you. And the assumption is so that we can focus on other things. So, because I'm still a flawed human, I got other things I need to work on. And by God taking this one thing off my plate, I now have more energy that I can use to focus on something else. Thanks for bringing that point up, Karen. I appreciate that. Okay. Any thoughts, any questions related to anything we've discussed so far, how to help our children or prepare our children for summers and changes in routine and those kinds of things?
I just put something in my mouth, so I'm going to talk with my mouth full.
Okay.
I'm eating a dried apricot because I'm starving. The contingency plan and the be busy stuff, right? Those are the go-to things that a mom would do. Like she'd be like, okay, so what are we going to do? What's the plan? Kind of a thing, right? But I think, is there any way that you could, I don't want to take too much of your time, but if you have the time, I think that it might be good to walk somebody in here through a contingency plan so that they can see that it's a lot up to the person that's doing it, not all of them doing it, right? So,
yeah.
So they can see, oh, personally, if I had a contingency plan for me, that's what that would kind of look like for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I see we have a couple questions in the chat that go right along this line. So this will be good. So first, let's get an idea of what does a typical routine look like? And again, this is going to change from person to person, these kinds of things. But as you look, you just start with some of the basics of, at some point in the day, my child's going to wake up. At some point, they're going to eat food, probably multiple times. And at some point, they're going to go to sleep. You look at these things that are more or less constant. And you can, this is something that obviously they have to do for themselves. As the parents, you can establish expectations and things like that. Like, I expect that you do chores and things of that nature before you play video games. And sometimes there might be some sort of enforcement that goes along the way of, like, you steal the power cord for the game consoles. Like, you can have this back after chores are done, or, you know, whatever else works in your family, just as an idea. I'm not going to say it's a good idea, but it's an idea. And so some of it is establishing expectations. Some of it is suggestions of, I was going to remind you to read your scriptures today, but then I remembered that you are a man and probably already read your scriptures before you came downstairs this morning, or something along those lines, whatever fits in your family situation for your loved ones. And so it's this kind of gentle. Some of it is setting expectations of, I expect that you will do this before you do this. And so again, video games is an example of that. Other times it might be gentle bumps and nudges of, hey, when do you typically do your writing, your W goal for manpower? And so in this way, you can kind of bump and nudge them into establishing these routines. Some of it will carry over from the school year. Most people do their writing in the evening, just before they go to bed. And I don't know why all humans, not all humans, but I don't know why 75 to 90% of humans function that way, but we do. And so some of those routines will just carry over. A lot of times scripture reading often happens in the evening. And maybe that's something that carries over, maybe they do in the evening. And so a lot of it is, those are going to be your main tools of setting expectations. And so those are going to be things that are probably less related to manpower. Now they can be. There's one young man that I work with who, this, the reason this was so effective was, it wasn't his idea, but he did establish this rule for himself, where I don't remember if it was, I know his parents mentioned it to him, his brother mentioned it to him, and I mentioned it to him. So somewhere between the three of us, we all mentioned, hey, you shouldn't play video games until your manpower goals are done. And, you know, there's some context that goes into why it was so particularly needful with this young man. I'm not saying all young men need to have this particular rule, but this young man did. If his manpower goals weren't done before he started playing video games in the evening, his manpower goals wouldn't get done. And 50% of the time he would have a lost battle. And so in his situation, it was more or less essential. His manpower had to be done before he played video games. And so between these three or four different people that suggested it, he made the rule for himself, I am not allowed to play video games until my manpower is done. And the reason it worked in this situation is he didn't own the device that video games were played on. It was his brother's phone. And so just part of the relationship, the accountability he had with his brother is when he goes to ask his brother his first phone, he's like, hey, can I play games on your phone? His brother's like, is your manpower goal done? Or are your manpower goals done? I can speak English correctly. So he asks, are your manpower goals done? And yes or no, and things roll on from there. But again, just kind of summarize and get back to the main points of how to establish a typical routine is establish expectations, and then the gentle bump and nudge positive assumptions of helping them figure out their routine. So there's that piece. Now, contingency plans. Again, this is something that they have to do for themselves, but there's that kind of bump and nudge reminder thing going on of, I was going to remind you that in a couple of days, we're going on vacation, family reunion, whatever this is, and that it will be difficult for you to get your manpower goals done. And have you considered what your backup plans will be? For example, one of my ministering goals is there's specific responsibilities and chores around the house that are my job. And my brain is built in such a way that if I don't have the accountability of attaching them to a manpower goal, they don't get done because I don't like cleaning the house, but it's a necessity. So I attach it to my manpower goal because that increased accountability helps me get it done. Now, when my wife and I go on trek later this summer, I will not be at home. So how on earth am I going to do the dishes and other things around the house that are part of my ministering goal if I'm not at home? And so for that reason, I have to come up with contingency plans and backup plans of what can I do to meaningfully minister when my normal things aren't available to me. And we can give more examples about those kinds of things in a little bit, but when helping your sons think about these kinds of things of you're going to be on trek or you're going to high adventure, we're going on this camp out with friends, whatever it is, helping them think about your normal stuff won't be available to you. You won't have the typical time that you would have to do your journaling, or you won't want to spend that amount of time because there's friends, there's cousins, there's rock climbing and rappelling or whatever else is going on. And so these kind of bump and nudge of what's your plan B and what reminder systems are you going to use to make sure that happens? Yeah. Any clarifying questions about that before I talk briefly about reminder systems?
One of the comments was, you know, especially if it's a teen. Well, I'm just going to read these two questions just so it's on the recording. It says, do you have suggestions for how to help? I think you've answered these, but just the one piece was a resistant, someone who's resistant to your input. So do you have suggestions for how to help structure a summer routine, especially if you have a teen resistant to your input? The other question that was put in the chat that you've been answering is, I would love to hear more ideas about how to plan ahead and help our children with the change of routine. I would love some more examples. And then an awesome comment about Camp Oneida. Here's a question. I don't know how involved in their manpower goals I should get. My normal inclination would be no video games, TV, etc. until chores and manpower goals are done. But then he is doing them only because of my expectations and not on his own. Good point.
Yeah. So as far as the first ones go, helping them build, so they do have to build their routine. And the expectations, the bump and nudge, are probably going to be the tools most at your disposal to help with those kinds of things. Planning ahead, giving them time and those gentle bumps and nudges. And so if you start with something along the lines of, I was going to remind you that we're going to go do this thing and that you won't be able to do manpower the way that you normally do. And then I remembered you probably already thought of that and came up with a plan. And so if you start with something along those lines, that positive assumption, it's really good for the mental psych or the male psychology. And then later you can follow that up with, would you be willing to share with me what your plan is for getting manpower done? And I think you can lead with the question, but it's more beneficial if you start with the positive assumption, come back later, maybe like the next day with the follow-up question. And again, depending on your relationship is how leads to how you phrase it, but using words along the lines of, would you be willing to? So it's not, I'm not demanding. It's not necessarily an expectation of, would you be willing to share with me what your plan is to get manpower goals done? If they haven't created a plan yet, because of the way that most male brains work, they'll either say, I don't know, or they will try and come up with a plan on the spot if they don't have one yet. And If they say, I don't know, then it's just another expression of confidence of, well, I know that you're smart. I know that you're brilliant and that you will plan ahead and you'll come up with a plan. And so those are things that you can do. One of the other things, and this is something that we've done with Camp Oneida, and we'll talk more about how this plays in a little bit. But if you build in time for manpower and other Border Patrol activities to be done. And so what I mean by that is, let's say you're going on a family vacation where a lot of what you do is within the control of you and your spouse versus like a family reunion or trek or those kinds of things. So when you do have a little more control over the schedule, you just build into it. At this time, we're going to have not necessarily like family scripture time, but you just communicate to your children that at this time, your dad and I are going to be sitting down and reading our scriptures and writing our journals and these kinds of things. And we invite you to join in with us or do something like that for yourselves. And so you just kind of build in this time of, I've dedicated this time into the schedule where you can do manpower. And then it's up to them whether or not they do it. Obviously, with things like trek, high adventure, and all that kind of stuff, they don't have the same kind of time built into the schedule. And so it really is that kind of contingency plans of, will you be able to do your normal manpower goals? Will you be able to do your normal Border Patrol activities? If not, what is your plan B? So as an example, like I said, my ministering goal is to do things around the house, to try and be a responsible, mature adult and do at least my share of cleaning up messes around the house, if not more. When my wife and I are on trek later this summer, we're not going to be at home, so we can't do that. And so as I've been thinking about what can I do while I'm away from home, what I've decided my ministering goal is going to be is I'm going to look for specific things my wife did that day where I can express affection, appreciation, and love that have nothing to do with her appearance or what she's wearing. And to help her feel seen, help her feel heard, help her feel appreciated, because I'm still meeting her needs. And those are things I can do anywhere. I mean, in a couple of weeks when I'm off at the Menomoroni retreat and she's still going to be here, those are still things I can do, even though I'm going to be in a different time zone and not spending time with her. I can still express appreciation in ways that are meaningful to her and help her feel seen and heard. And I won't be at home. So that's an example of a plan B that you can take with you anywhere. It takes some creative thought. If you time it right, you can bump and nudge and encourage your young man to discuss it with his personal warrior trainer before he goes on trek or high adventure or whatever. And that's your that's his personal warrior trainer's job, is to help create those kinds of plans and put those kinds of things together. Did we, Karen, do you feel like we sufficiently covered those before I talk about what if your child's resistant?
Yeah, I think that's good. Unless anybody has any questions, you ladies, you're welcome to just chime in.
Go ahead, Luann.
I'll just share something that has kind of worked in our family for the little bump and nudge without really saying much about that. Is I would try, like, I have a whiteboard in my kitchen. So like the night before, I just kind of write down what the schedule is the next day, like who had lessons or who had appointments or if we were doing a family activity or whatever. So it's kind of there on the board. So everybody kind of knew. And even if there was one person had their own little individual thing, I'd put that on the schedule too. And so kind of everybody kind of knew what the expectation was for the day. So they weren't surprised, like, oh, and now we're going to go do this. And so they could, and it wasn't me nagging so much, but it was just kind of right there so they could see it on their own. They wouldn't have to hear my voice. And especially when they got older and they were more in charge of their day and their schedule, then they could kind of work that into their plan too. And so that was kind of helpful. And I just, my kids will probably even tell you, they hated it when school got out because we'd have this big family council for the summer. Here's the expectations for the summer. We'd start off on fire and then, you know, kind of peters out. But yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard on moms when the kids are home and you kind of feel responsible and there's a little bit of anxiousness too. You want to have it smooth sailing for yourself, smooth sailing for them. And, but I think, you know, talking about it, what their hopes are, what they're willing to do and help out, what the moms can do and kind of be on the same, well, moms and fathers, kind of all be on the same page. So thanks for the things that you've shared, Brighton. I love that you already have contingency plans for some of those things that are way down the road, a few weeks coming. So that's terrific.
Thank you. Thanks for those thoughts. So brief thought about working with a resistant child. Obviously, the nature of the relationship, it's going to be difficult. So I don't want to go too crazy deep into this, largely because it's so different from family to family. But here's two tools. Number one, and this goes for anything related to manpower, recovery work, or any other thing of seriousness or gravity in their life, you need to spend at least as much time doing anything else with them than you spend talking recovery, manpower, those kinds of things. So if you want to have a 3-minute checkup with your child every single day on how was manpower, how's recovery work, and those kinds of things, you need to have at least 3 minutes at some totally different part of the day. Just how was school? What's going on? What's fun? Tell me about the girls you think are cute or whatever else. If it's something that's fun for them, with them, that helps with the relationship. It's not necessarily a cure-all. It's not necessarily a guarantee, but it's important that they understand that you still see them. Yeah, I'll share this piece really quick. Some of you know the Eternal Warrior podcast. Some of you have listened to it before. If you haven't, really recommend and encourage it. Two guys who are graduates of the program, they're goofballs. They're fun and funny to listen to, but they share a lot of great tools and principles. One of the things that one of them mentioned, and this happens a couple of times on the podcast, one of them, his mother was his accountability partner. And so it got to the point where most of their conversations between he and his mother was, am I doing my manpower? Am I winning my battles? And those kinds of things. And then once he graduated from the program, they didn't know what else to talk about. Another example that somebody else shared is his sister was his accountability partner. And so every single day he's checking with his sister of, here's my manpower goals, is how many I've done today, winning my battles, blah, blah, blah. After he graduated from the program and had been winning for a long period of time, was really working recovery, he and his sister had no idea what else to talk about. And so all their conversations started with, yeah, I'm still winning. And there's like this little celebration and just this awkward pause of, well, now what do we talk about? Because they lost some of that sibling relationship of the teasing or playing card games together or whatever else, because the focus on recovery had consumed the relationship. So it is essential that however much time you spend with your child, whether it's accountability, checking in, whatever else, you spend at least as much time doing anything else so you maintain the relationship. So there's that piece. Now, particularly, so this is true with all children, especially teenage boys, and extra true with boys who are resistant to your influence or help or interference or whatever it is. They need to hear it from somebody that isn't you. And I don't know why humans are built this way, but the people who are closest to us, I'm sure you've seen this many times and you'll probably see it many more times in your life. You will be telling your child the same thing dozens of times, and then their friend suggests it, and it's like this novel idea that they've never heard before. So get people on your team or find people on your team who can be that person, whether it's the fun uncle in the family, whether it's you send a text to their PWT and the PWT is the one who suggests it to them, or if you can talk to their best friend's parents and their best friend's parents are the ones who suggest certain things. As far as best friend's parents go, that's probably going to be something more along the lines of, hey, you're kind of being a jerk, pull your head out of the mud, versus something directly related with like recovery work. But find those people on your team who can make those suggestions on your behalf, because they haven't been listening to you. There's a lot more tools out there, but like I said, a lot of that is dependent on, it varies from relationship to relationship. So really quick, I want to talk briefly about your role with manpower goals. And then I want to talk a little bit about Camp Oneida before I have to leave and go put my child down for a nap. You should know that he has manpower goals. You should know what his manpower goals are. beyond that, his checking in with you, his reporting and stuff like that to you is going to be based on your relationship. So we do expect that. So in Sons of Helaman, we do expect them to be checking in with you. We do expect them to be reporting back to you. There's even a line, you probably noticed this, but in the Manpower Journal, there's this line right here that says parent IN. So that stands for parent initial. And so if that's something that fits in your relationship, we encourage them to voluntarily bring their journal to you so you can do a quick initial. If that is something that would not fit in your relationship, don't force it. But you should know that they have manpower goals. We do want you to know what they are so you can try and help and support how you can. As far as like enforcing of no video games or TV or other fun things until all your manpower goals are done, kind of depends on the relationship, whether or not they'll be too resistant to that. As far as the motivation, it's not wrong to start with external motivation as long as eventually it becomes intrinsic motivation. I mean, for the in-person groups, that's why we have pizza. Now, I understand most groups don't do that anymore because most of our groups are online now. But for the groups that meet in person, if the points, or if the collective average of the points between the group are above a certain number, then they get pizza. It is an external motivator to not lose so that I'm not the guy who ruined pizza for everybody. It's an external motivator. And it helps them get a little traction. It helps them start moving forward. And then eventually it becomes an intrinsic motivator. So it's not bad to start with an external motivator. Like, I expect you to have your manpower goals done before you can play video games. It's not a bad place to start. But you're right. Eventually, they will need to develop an internal motivation in order for it to last. Any thoughts or questions related to any of this stuff before we switch gears and talk about Camp Oneida?
I just had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my son this summer he's in a dorm and he's isolated in a teeny tiny town that has a bar and that's it, but he's working there. So he's in a large dorm room all by himself. And I'm wondering, with your experience, is it harder to battle when you are by yourself for long periods of his free time?
Likely, yes. Some of it depends on his personality, whether he really enjoys and thrives being around other people.
He is an extrovert.
Okay. So yes, it will probably be more difficult. There will probably be some lost battles. And so from the position that, I mean, you're not in the same town as him, but offering what suggestions you can of how are you interacting with people? How are you mingling with people? And what are you doing to actively seek that out?
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. This is a passion project that I've been working on for 3 years and I'm so excited it's actually going somewhere now. So if you go to whatever web browser you use, just type in camponida.com. It brings you here to lifechangingservices.org. To the Camp Oneida homepage, or you can go to lifechangingservices.org and we got this pop-up that pops up because there's a lot of people who want to help me pull this off and make it possible. So what is Camp Oneida? For these dates right here, these 5 days early in June, we're going to be meeting together, me, some other people with similar experiences to me, and young men. Originally, this was going to be just for members of the Sons of Helaman. But there've been a lot of requests that we open that up. After a lot of talking with my team, we found ways that we can meet the needs of those who are in Sons of Helaman and the needs of the people who are not in Sons of Helaman. And that was the conflict. And since we've been able to figure that out, this is now available and open to any young man between the ages of 14 and 19. So if your young man isn't in Sons of Helaman, he's welcome. If you have a son who is in Sons of Helaman and there's a brother who wants to come, he's welcome. If they want to share with a best friend, whoever, will be at Camp Oneida. We're going to be using fun adventure-based activities to teach lessons of recovery, of self-mastery. We're going to be using safe foam sword fighting. We're going to be doing blacksmithing, team building games. We found a way that we can include an outdoor escape room. We're using all sorts of fun activities like this that teach principles of self-mastery. And so we're going to be approaching and teaching these things, and we're going to be careful with our language. So we're going to use terms like lost battle, and lost battle applies to anytime you breach your value system, whether that's looking at pornography or shouting at your sister and stealing her favorite toy. Both are things contrary to value systems. And so we're going to be careful to use language like that. We're going to be talking about the pattern for growth tool that is the core of both the young men's and young women's programs: discover, plan, act, reflect, and these kinds of things. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share this with you. And I'm hoping that some of your young men will come and join us there. We're super excited about it.
I've already told my team I'll be gone the 5th through the 9th. I'm going to Camp Oneida.
I'm excited. I appreciate it. Yeah. Riley will appreciate it. Riley's going to be our primary cook. Oh. And so.
Cool. That will be good. Yeah, I'm excited to just go and help. And I thought that was kind of cool, because if you do have a young man that's coming, or, you know, that's something that's possible, right? Brighton moms could volunteer if they'd like to, and then they
we are looking for volunteers who are willing to come and spend a few hours. And so likely things we'll be asking you to do is help with check-in, or if you can help my brother, like with the food stuff, you're not going to be primarily, you don't have to read the recipe or stuff like that, but if you could just give him an extra hand or so. And then when you're not doing that, we invite you to go and spy on your children and see the kinds of fun things that they're happening. But yeah, we are looking for volunteers who are willing to come and help us out with some of the behind the scenes stuff and then spy on the kids.
Yeah, but this is it's the first time that anything like this has happened. And it's such a brilliant idea from such a qualified person, Brighton, for you to do this. And it's so cool to notice that it's been your passion project for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now it's finally going.
Yeah, it's finally here. It's crazy to look back and see how God has been preparing me with, well, essentially God has been putting me in places, positions, and skill sets since I was about 14 years old. I worked 8 summers at scout camps and other experiences where I think this is something that God has uniquely prepared me to do, because I can do it. I've got the skill set. I've got the experience. So anyway, not trying to brag, but I'm just excited. I want to go do this thing. And I'm hoping your young men and their friends will come and join us.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna be there. And if not, awesome. We're going to share it with our neighbors. So if we wanted to share it with our neighbors, we could just go to the website, copy the link, and share it with our neighbors.
Yeah, camponina.com. Share it with your neighbors. Jen asked in the chat where it's going to be. Northern Utah. There's a small town called Liberty. It's a little north of where Karen lives, a little east of Ogden. And that's where it will be during that week of the 5th through the 9th. And all of that information is on camponida.com. It tells you where it is. I shared earlier, there's a sample schedule on there. So if you want to see what they're going to be doing and when, that's on there. It's towards the bottom of the page. Yeah, all the information is on there. And if you can't find what you're looking for, then email me, camponida@gmail.com, and I'll answer your questions.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Brighton. Just before you leave, entered in the chat, I'm so excited for Camp Oneida. And now I see the brilliance of scheduling it. Oh, now I lost it because of scheduling it so early in the summer to set up the young man for success all summer. Thanks for that. It's good. It's good you're kicking off the summer with a bang for him.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I got to go put my child down for a nap.
That was wonderful.
I look forward to seeing you all again soon.
Thanks, Brighton. Good to be with you. All right. So good. That is good. That's amazing. Just for me personally, ladies, it's so fun to experience Brighton in my life. He's a good guy, good man, and just to have known him for so many years and to have him be so involved in so many things at Life Changing Services here and there, and then to see this something that he's wanted to do for a long time. And my children are, you know, not super way, way younger than Brighton, but young enough that when he was the director of one of the Boy Scout camps, he directed them as workers at the camp, my daughter and my son. And the reason we even knew that was a job and it was a fun job they could get was because of the Petersons. Petersons told us, yeah, this is what my kids have been doing every summer forever. And I was like, that's a thing? You can get a job at a scout camp? And so, yeah, that was kind of a neat experience to just, yeah, see him mentoring my kids as the camp director, but also it was cool to go up there and experience how much they had grown, because he does a really good job of teaching and kind of modeling things, and then he, you know, lets them do stuff. So they learned a ton. Thanks, everybody, and thanks, Luann, for your help today. All right, ladies, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.